Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your Spirit and your Word. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to make Jesus, the Word of God, known to us today. We pray for personal knowing, not hearing with our natural mind, but that, Holy Spirit, you will take truth to us and make it known to us. We are hungry for you. We need you. I don't think any of us really know how much we need you, but I know I need you. And so I invite you, Lord, to come and minister to us. Minister to your people like a shepherd this morning. Feed your flock and bless your inheritance. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through a time with the Lord about being dependent and filled with the Holy Spirit, and really what that means. And we haven't yet, any of us, experienced all that he has for us, which is already exciting. The good things, the miracles he wants to do for us personally, but also the things he wants to do through us. And the very first thing that happened once Jesus was baptized in water and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, came upon Jesus. Interestingly, he'd never done a miracle before then. He hadn't had a word of knowledge for anyone. He hadn't operated in any of the gifts of the Spirit. It's amazing. He hadn't preached until the Holy Spirit came upon him. But what is really interesting is after the Spirit came upon him, you read it in Luke 3, Jesus was led by the Spirit. And I believe that it is so important for us as his people to understand that Spirit-filled is expressed by being Spirit-led. That if we are to be as Jesus wants his church to be, as is written in the book of Acts, a people of power, of signs, of wonders, then we must have a personal relationship with Jesus through his Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit in everything in our lives. And so to be Spirit-filled means that there is an outworking of being led by the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to look at this subject a little bit. We're going to finish at the end with some ministry and allow the Spirit to work and to lead us, maybe through prophetic words or through whatever way the Lord wants to move this morning. But first of all, we're going to look at his word to understand his ways. And so we're going to look in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to begin here with a wonderful encouragement from Jesus. Jesus is known to be, one of his names is that he is the Good Shepherd. There are shepherds, and then there is the Good Shepherd. Shepherds, obviously, naturally speaks about usually sheep or goats or the management of livestock. But Jesus speaks about being the Good Shepherd of his people, his church. Individually, he is your Good Shepherd, and he is our Good Shepherd as his body. He is the shepherd of his people. And a shepherd leads, guides, feeds, and protects. And so the Lord is your leader, he's your guide. He's the one who wants to feed you good green pastures. And he wants to protect you from wolves. And I believe that in our day, what is needed is a people who are so Spirit-filled, they know what the Spirit is saying and wanting to do in everyday life. That it translates in a walk that we walk out our Christian life by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Good Shepherd is leading us through his Spirit. And in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." I mean, I already think that's extremely encouraging. My sheep. Now, this means we don't belong to ourselves, that Jesus has purchased us. We've been hearing about that this morning with his blood. We are his. We belong to Jesus. And he is the one who leads us through his voice. My sheep, those who belong to me, hear me. Those who belong to me, hear me. And I believe God wants to build confidence in each one of us this morning of what it means to hear the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd. They hear my voice. I know them. Jesus says, I already know what you're in, what's going on, what's happening in your head this morning, what happened before you came in. I know it all. I know what was and I know what will be. And so the most important job that I can give you is to listen to my voice. Because if you listen, I will lead you. And he knows us by name, actually. He calls us by name. He is not an impersonal God. He's a God who knows you by name. And he calls you by speaking to you and telling you things so that you can follow where he is leading you. We can't follow if we don't hear. And God is a communicating God. He came, when Jesus came, he gathered people around him who wanted to follow him, which is, I trust, why you are here today. You want to follow Jesus. But you won't follow him unless you recognize his voice and get to know his voice. Because hearing him is the most important part, really, of being able to follow. That's what Jesus was saying. But we can be confident that God himself says. And if God says it, it must be true. We can hear him. Because he never lies. So you do hear God. Tell somebody next to you, I am his sheep and I hear his voice. King David, he wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm 23. And basically he was saying, I love it that I'm not leading my own life. It's brilliant. Thank God. Because if I think about when I did, it was a mess. But the Lord, he's my shepherd. I have made him my Lord, in other words, my master, but he is also the one who is going to shepherd me. And attached to that first verse in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know what that means? You won't have any needs if he's leading you. It's really basic, I know. But if the Lord is leading you, you will lack nothing. You will lack no provision, no power, no fruitfulness. Your needs will be met if you allow the Lord to lead you and guide you through your days. The little decisions and the big decisions. Now, Jesus said when he was to go away, he said, I'm going to send another like me, one like me. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who is God. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm going to send him to you. And he will be with you and he will live in you. He will be God, the shepherd He's also many other things, but He will be your guide, your shepherd within you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, God gives you His Spirit to guide you and lead you through your life. You can't follow God just by a Bible. You need the Word of God and the guide, the Holy Spirit. Which is why He said, I will send Him to you and He will be with you and He will be in you. The Holy Spirit is God guiding you personally every day of your life. Wow, what a gift the Holy Spirit is. Right now you're more conscious of your own self, some of you, than the Holy Spirit within you, but He already is there. You just have to adjust your thinking, if you've accepted Jesus, to the truth that the Spirit dwells within you now. And He wants to be your personal guide. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians, this amazing chapter about the leadership or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the adventures in the Christian life. Let me say the adventures that God has for us in the Christian life, because they're what God has, not what you imagine. The adventures that the Lord has for each one of us. Because the Christian life is an amazing adventure if it is Spirit-led. It's a bore if it isn't. You want to be bored? Just be led by your brain. Just let your brain take over. Or your feelings. You want to be bored? Stay feeling-centered. Oh, I feel. I feel so I won't. I feel so I will. We're not led by our feelings. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Now let me tell you, the Spirit will never guide you into what is not truth. And truth is God's Word. He will always guide you into truth. But the Holy Spirit Himself is available to us so that we can be led by Him. Now in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read here, however, as it is written, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. The next verse. These are the things of God. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Now, we don't know the things of God with our natural eyes. Like if I look at you with my natural eye this morning, all I can say is what you're wearing and what you look like. But if I look with the mind of the Spirit, I will see Christ in you. The hope of this meeting, looking at some of you, you're sleeping. So He is my hope as I'm looking out at some of you. Not what you're looking like, some of you. It's amazing. If I was moved by what I could see, I wouldn't be acting. I'd say, oh well, let's finish there. But I'm not. I'm moved by what I believe. And I can see that the Holy Spirit is in each one of you. And I see and understand by the Spirit. You are not what your jar is. You are what the treasure is on the inside of you. Which gets better and better news the older you get. Honestly, it does. He improves with knowing. So your eye can't take it in. Oh, the only one who can give us the mind of Christ. Because actually, in verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? God wants to instruct each one of us. But we have the mind of Christ because the Spirit of God reveals the mind of Christ to us. Amen. So you can only know what Jesus wants to do if the Spirit reveals that to you. I believe a lot of what we do is assumption and presumption and not spirit-led. And I believe God wants us to be more aware of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, bringing to us the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ, the thoughts of God, are to be communicated to every single follower of Jesus Christ. This isn't for the greatly educated. It's for those who want to know him and follow him. It's for his sheep. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. So the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us the mind of Christ. That's interesting. You can't get his mind with your brain, with seeing life with your natural eyes, or hearing human wisdom. That will never bring you into the mind of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can bring the mind of Christ to his people. But we have received the Holy Spirit, that's the good news, so that we may know the things that God has freely given to us. So our faith is in him, and our dependency is on the Holy Spirit to give us the mind of Christ. Imagine at work on tomorrow, Lord, what's your mind on this? Anyone who listens, he will reveal. And he will give you the mind of Christ in every situation. Intellect and theology can't give you the mind of Christ. You can be a theologian, know the Bible through and through, but only the Holy Spirit can give you the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ isn't found through the human brain. Otherwise, you could study yourself into excellence. Now, I believe in studying the Word of God. I believe in being students of the Word. Without that, we will go wrong. We'll go into error. Because we need the Word as the ultimate standard of truth. But the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us the mind of Christ. I'd like you to imagine a scenario that if I had a sparrow as an example, and I wanted to educate my sparrow, and I would sit down and talk to my sparrow every day, trying to instruct my sparrow in what I wanted him to learn. I could talk for years, but that sparrow would never understand me. Because that sparrow only has a bird brain. I have a human mind, but the sparrow has a bird brain. God says, my thoughts are higher, far greater than your thoughts. In other words, yours is a human mind. My mind, my thoughts are so much greater. Now, the only way I could get that bird to have my mind would be to put my mind into its brain.
Yes, right. Good.
But nothing else could educate that mind to have God's thoughts except me putting in my thoughts. And that's how the Holy Spirit works in us. God's thoughts are divine. They're far above our thoughts. But what he does, the Holy Spirit takes his thoughts and puts them into us. He reveals them in our hearts so that we see with the eyes of our heart. We understand by faith. Because that's how your spirit hears the Lord, is that you understand by faith. You see something, light comes. But then the Holy Spirit puts those thoughts into your mind. And you then have a divine thought that didn't originate innate with your brain. But it came from God to be leading you and shepherding you in a particular situation. See, God doesn't want to kill your intellect, but without divine thoughts, it isn't any good for him. He wants to put divine thoughts in your intellect. Yes. Paul was the most clever theologian of the day. He studied under the greats of the day. And yet he never knew God until Jesus was revealed to him. And then Christ was revealed through the Spirit to that man. So only the Holy Spirit gave him the divine thoughts. And so it wasn't because Paul was brilliant intellectually. It was because he was willing to accept God's word and God's thoughts into his life and mind. I have this statement here. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we must have the Spirit bring God's now thought to us. Isn't that a great statement? If we, how many of you want to have the mind of Christ on a lot of things? Not just for ourselves, please. We're here for this world. We're here to be led by the Spirit to bring the ministry of Christ to our world. So yes, for our personal lives, for relationships, for work, for finances, God has a victory route for you. Thanks be to God, Scripture says, because he always leads us in triumphant procession. He always leads us. Where does God lead you? Into victory. But if we want to have his mind, we must have the Spirit bring God's now thought. This was illustrated as I was reading this a while ago. And most of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of faith that God powerfully used. A man filled with the Spirit and the Word. He was both a man of the Spirit and a man of the Word of God. And he was ministering to a large man, apparently very large, who Smith went up to him and said, "What would you like me to do?" And he said, "I want to be filled with the Spirit," which is amazing when you're in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed from the waist down and hadn't walked for 20 years. Most of us would say, "I want to walk." But his hunger for the Lord was, "I want to be filled with the Spirit." Wonderful, wonderful heart. And so Smith said, "Fine, well, pray for you." And he got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he fell out of his wheelchair onto the floor. I would love to be in some of those meetings. It was a bit messy. One or two things happened that is a bit unusual. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something unusual was happening. Praise the Lord. Wherever Jesus went, something unusual happened. It wasn't all same old, same old. The Lord always led him into a different way. Every day he was being led by the Spirit. Things were different. He'd spit, get a bit of mud and heal one guy that way. He'd send another one off to do something else to heal them that way. Never the same. And so this guy's on the floor speaking in tongues. And the Lord said to, Smith Wigglesworth looked at this man and said, "My goodness me, those legs." This is what I want to illustrate something here. He looked at this man, "Those legs can't support that body." They were obviously wasted. And he looked at this man on the floor, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Spirit, but still lame. Still couldn't walk. So he's looking. Now, what was he doing? He was receiving information from his eyes. His human mind was saying, "Those legs can't support that man." Isn't that interesting? And so even Smith Wigglesworth had human thoughts and divine thoughts. And human thoughts are what everybody gets. An unbeliever could look at somebody on the floor, speaking in tongues, saying, "That's weird." But would also say that man can't walk because of those legs? You don't even have to be a believer to have a human mind. Right? Then he looked to the Lord. He took his eyes off and his heart off the natural. And I love what he said. It's so simple. Lord, tell me what to do. Brilliant. What's he wanting? The mind of Christ. He's wanting to be led, to be instructed. What do I do now, Lord? How much more would happen before we prayed for somebody if we asked the Lord, what shall I do? Isn't that interesting? Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said to him, command him in my name to walk. So completely contradictory to human thought. The human mind, the natural mind, can't accept the things of God. It's carnal. Actually, sometimes an enmity against God is your human mind. Well, mostly, actually. But when your human mind can be a vehicle into which God can put his thoughts, then God is going to use you. When you allow him to give you his thoughts. So he said, command him in my name to walk. But unusually, and I've never read a mistake from Smith Wigglesworth, he made one. I was greatly encouraged. And he didn't do what God said. And he said to a few guys around this guy, remember he was rather large, let's try pick him up. And they struggled. They couldn't get this guy off the floor, puffing, panting, trying with human effort, not doing what Jesus had said to do. It wasn't working. How do you know life won't work if you run your life with your human mind? Okay, three of us. You need Holy Spirit education this morning. And I can imagine these guys, go on, let's give it another go. Bring on some more. Come on, you guys at the back, come and help us. They couldn't get this guy off the floor. And he suddenly realized he'd made a mistake and he said to the Lord, forgive me, Lord. And the Lord said, just tell him, command him to walk. So Smith looked at this guy with legs that couldn't support that weight, but just said, Lord, you said, I will, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Up he went. He didn't just walk, he ran. And sometimes we are so quick to jump in without listening. And I speak for myself because my character is always get somewhere quick. And I'm driving in this morning and the Lord spoke to me via a Nissan Micra. And if you have one, you're delivered. No, you're blessed. But a Nissan Micra. See, my character is, even spiritually, I read a promise and I want it to happen as soon as I read it. I don't want all the wisdom and all hearing God till I get to the promise. I just want the promise to happen now. Because I want quick. God uses that, but sometimes it's an impatience of the flesh. And this Nissan Micra was slower than a tractor. Can you believe that on a Sunday morning, that there is a Nissan Micra on the West Country lanes going as slower than a tractor, not even tractor speed. And I'm six cars behind the Nissan Micra, because normally I've got a bit of welly in my car. I always ask the Lord for 2 litres. And maybe I can get more. And so I like to change down when it's safe, within the guidelines. But 20 is not the speed limit. Praise the Lord. It's 60. And so I wanted to change down and move on quick. And I couldn't. I had this too many cars. It was unsafe. And I was like, steering wheel. Like, oh, well, here we go. West Country traveling. And the Lord really spoke to this. About 20 cars behind me, all doing the same. Nissan Micras. And the Lord said to me, sometimes my people want to get somewhere quicker than I want them to. And the shove and push of the flesh will always try to make you move so quick that you're not hearing God. How many people have left a job because they just didn't like it and couldn't put it up with it anymore? And they just, I want out. Got too much for them. Like I wanted out of that queue. How many of us want out of a situation where church life doesn't just totally agree with me? And things don't totally work like I want them to work. And people leave churches because of the impatience of the flesh. How many times do you think Abraham said, this is a long time coming, Lord. This is a long time coming. But he didn't stop trusting God. He stayed in that queue, following the Lord, the Nissan Micra. And he got there in the end. You understand, there is a speed in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it is fast, but sometimes it's very steady. And that's where the tests are, is when we're in the steady day-to-day, Lord, surely this should be happening quicker. And we want to push it, and the flesh starts to rise up and get out of the Spirit. Just like Smith, he wanted it to happen. But the Lord says, just do what I tell you to do. And the Spirit speaks within each one of us constantly, reminding us of what Jesus has said. Smith Wigglesworth missed it. He said, sorry, I didn't do what you gave me to do. And many times the miracle is lost. Listen to this. Because we don't do what Jesus said to us to do. Sometimes there is a process to a miracle. And we're not listening. We want out and we want quick. And if we don't get it quick, we're out. And God says, listen to my voice. Follow me. I am your good shepherd. And the miracle will come. Because what the Lord speaks, he will fulfill. There is always power in doing what he says to do. It's the secret of Jesus' ministry. He said, I don't even speak what is of mine. I only speak what the Father gives me. What do you think to that? What a wonderful Savior. How submitted is he? How submitted is he in his mind? To say, I'll only say what the Father gives me to say. I'll only go where the Father says to go. He was led by the Spirit, even to cast out demons. And don't we need the Spirit to discern the demonic? Only the Holy Spirit can show you if there's a demonic problem in a situation. I remember a while ago, somebody brought a young girl who was having psychological problems and asked me to pray for her. And, you know, praise God, the Holy Spirit told me what to do. But I lifted my hand to pray for this girl, and she fell over. Now, I wonder what you would think to that. Normally, I would think, Oshabrahande esebrehe, power! Sorry, I thought I'd wake a few of you up. Normally, I would think that. Oh, yes, Jesus, this is all just raw power. And isn't it interesting that the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of them isn't falling over. And I just, anyway, I'll tell you my story and then I'll go into the why. So she fell over, but the Holy Spirit gave me discernment, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which we are to eagerly desire. And he said, it's the enemy counterfeiting the power of God, because there is a true falling over in the Spirit. I've done it. I have been rocked out of my feet and thrown three rows back and not been hurt in the power of the Holy Spirit, because he'll never hurt you when it's God. Because God doesn't hurt people. If you're pushed, you'll get hurt. Or if you feel you should fall, bang, ow. And the Lord told me, the Holy Spirit told me, that's counterfeit. So I said, quite sharply, get up. I wasn't speaking to her, I was speaking to a demon. And she stood up, because demons have to obey authority in the name of Jesus. She stood up and I went to pray again. She fell over again. So I said, get up and stay up. Stand up. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are free. And she was liberated from that moment, from an evil spirit. Psychologically, she was healed. Because some things are totally demonic and need resisting in the name of Jesus Christ. But if we were using our human minds, even spiritually educated human minds, this is good. I'm enjoying this. A spiritually educated human mind is, oh, the power of God's moving. She must be free. But if it was a demon trying to hide behind what he knows to be a common manifestation, to not be dealt with, then that girl would never be free. And Jesus has come to set captives free. He's come to heal all who are oppressed of the devil. He's come to get people out of prison, including demonic prisons. And so if we step back in the moment and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? In the moment when you feel you might have an answer for somebody, even though it could be an answer that you have learned. You may know the word like I do. I know the word. I could probably say enough to you of the word of God in any situation you're living through. But the only word that would carry power would be the Spirit-given word for that situation. So I'm not just going to quote and quote and quote. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to say to this person? This is far more a lesson of the life of the Spirit than I thought. In Isaiah, let's read in Isaiah 50. How are you doing? We need the mind of the Spirit, the Spirit-revealed mind, don't we? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Telling myself I need to move on. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. So in other words, I know what to say, a word to sustain the weary. I love that. Don't you want a word to sustain somebody who's weary? Here today? This week? Oh, I need my tongue to be Spirit-given. I need to be speaking the things that the Spirit is saying. And then it goes on to say, He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear. That's your inner ear. That's the ear of your heart. He's wakening you up to the voice of the Spirit. Wakens me morning by morning to listen as one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears and I have not been rebellious. For just a moment, Smith was. And I honor that man of God. But let's also learn from that little insight into being led by the Spirit. Wakens my ears, morning by morning. I believe we need an open ear before we open our mouth. This is good. Because God's equipping us to be Spirit-led. And if I think of you this week leading by the Spirit, I get excited. I get excited. Did I just say that? I get excited. Did I say that?
With my tractor.
Me gets excited. Right, where was I? Imagine if we were all Spirit-led this week. Imagine. Our ears were listening. We were listening to the Lord. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Being willing to be led. I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy Him more than we do. And enjoy listening. Enjoying hearing His thoughts. Because you might look at the situation like Smith did and say, those legs won't ever work. That situation ain't ever going to produce. But the Lord, you just have to say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? It's relationship with a person. Not Sunday to Sunday. I do this, I go to church, and then I live out of my human mind. I live out of what I see, what I think, and what people are saying. How many people have said things about you that you've ignored? Because they're not true, they're not what Jesus says. That's the only way to live the Christian life. So live by what Jesus says. Ah, let's have an open ear before we open our mouths. We would have a lot more fruit praying for people. Yes. Now we're not to see demons behind every tree. Right. And we're never, ever, ever to operate out of judgment. Never. It is never the Holy Spirit that we judge. Judgment belongs to God, not us. Right, I'm just going to say something and I'm going to shoot a home run. There is something going around the international scene that Britain needs to leave the EU because God's judgment is falling on Europe. Poppycock! God's judgment, if it was to fall, would fall on Britain too. And that's not a political comment. It's a comment about the nature and character of God. God, this is a season of grace. It's not a season of judgment. We are in a time of mercy, a time of the outpouring of the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we need wisdom. I don't know what to vote. But I know that the Lord is in charge of the nations, and He gets my vote, and I'm listening to Him. Amen. We are not here to judge with a human mind and a political mind. Right. We bow our minds. That's what it means to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We bow. We say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Let your word, your spirit govern me. I don't want human thoughts. I want divine thoughts. I want to pray as it is in heaven, as led by your spirit. Let's not get caught into these traps of humanism and be so spirit-filled that we are being led by the divine revelation of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to run through this because I'm going to pray in a minute. But I want you to know something so serious. That Jesus actually said in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit will always guide us into Bible truth. The more a person is led by the Spirit, the more scriptural they will be. I'm going to say that again because it's that good. The more a person is led by the Spirit, the more scriptural they will be. Jesus fulfilled every word that was written about him. He came to fulfill the word. Paul fulfilled, lived a scriptural life. And so we don't need to get so weird that we have to ask God, do I get up in the morning? Do I have to eat breakfast this morning? Do I go to work and pay my bills this morning? Do I keep Sunday special? You don't have to hear God for all of those things. It's yes. Because it's the will of God. You don't even have to hear a word from God, especially by the Spirit, to be healed, because he has sent forth his word and healed us. But what is so important for you and I to be led by the Spirit, we need to be immersed in the word of God, which means a daily devotion to asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word personally. Read your Bible. Can I say it again? Read your Bible. Tell somebody next to you, read your Bible. Because you need the Holy Spirit will guide you and speak to you and bring the voice of Jesus. The voice of your shepherd will come through the word of God. Personally. I mean, I believe his voice is coming to you today. But that's also part of the will of God for you. Hearing God is the corporate life of the body. So you don't go all weird and isolated. Anybody who's isolated and doesn't go to church, let me tell you, they're in deception. That's it, clear as a bell. You need the body of Christ. You need those God's raised to be your shepherd with a small s. He's the shepherd with the big S. Hallelujah. So Christ fulfilled the word. Paul fulfilled the word. When I read my Bible, I ask him to speak to me. I don't just have a daily reading plan and hear what somebody else had. Come on, church. Shall we grow up? Shall we get beyond a daily reading plan? Paul wasn't there. What's the latest reading? What's 24th of March? What's that then? Are they good? They're good for babies, new believers. But for those who've been saved for a while, read your Bible. This is good. Lovely. Lovely. I tell you another way to get the word of God in you. And David, I really learned from him. He has journeys to Exeter and back every day where he works, from Taunton to Exeter. And some of you have distance that you travel every day. And he got Pastor Collins the Truth, the Bible, on memory USB. And he listens to the word, because Colin is a speaking Bible. Yes. And you can hear the word, so Pastor Colin can speak the word to you every day, the word of God, by listening in a journey. Get the word of God in, because the more the word is in you, The more the Spirit can use what you have in you to remind you of what Jesus has said as you walk through the day. He will remind you of the things that Jesus has said. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. May we not just want Spirit-filled, but let's have our roots in the Word of God, so deeply rooted that the Spirit can use us. The Spirit and the Word are one. And where we are one with the Spirit, we'll always be one with the Word. It's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, gosh, I know you've nearly had enough looking at you, but that's okay. I could go all day. Most of the time, we walk in the light of the Word, the Spirit reminding us of truth. This morning, and actually, interestingly, she's not here. I think she's serving downstairs. I was given a prophetic word for somebody. And that's interesting. I was putting my makeup on, of which I need a lot these days. And as I'm putting my makeup on this morning, some of you are going, you are? You blokes, you're blessed. Mind you, you've got to shave, so I think we're more blessed. And some of you don't shave. Maybe you do need one. No. But I was getting ready to come out, and just suddenly this person popped into my head, and then the Spirit gave me a scripture from Malachi 3:18, which is this. It's about people saying, what's the point of serving God? What's the point of tithing and giving to the Lord? It's in vain. You don't see a difference. And God says, for those who fear me and honor me, I know who they are. And you will again see a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. And so the Lord, by His Spirit, gave me a scripture to speak into the life of this person who's serving currently downstairs. And I know that's how the Spirit often works. He gives you a word. You will face situations where you need to use the sword of the Spirit like Jesus did. And that sword is what God has given you from His Word. It is written. Jesus had swords, three swords to use against the enemy. It is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He didn't quote the whole Bible. He just got a verse that was the sword of victory. And most of the time we walk in the guidance of the light of God's Word, led by the Spirit into His Word, given that sword of victory for situations, to pray. But there are times when we get that special voice of the Spirit, that inner witness of the Spirit. And you know, and I believe God wants you to become more sensitive to this, like He does me. You know when it's yes and you know when it's no. Because there's a witness on the inside of you. Don't do that. Don't get involved with that business deal. Don't move to that place. Move here. Honestly, if you don't listen to the Spirit, you will make a mistake. And some of those mistakes can be immensely costly to you. The Lord never led you into failure. He only leads you into victory and fruit. Okay, there might be opposition. So you're not always to be led. Really, you mustn't be led by your circumstances. You need to be led by the Word, the Spirit. But at times your circumstances might be used by God to lead you. But that's rare. If Paul had been led by his circumstances, with the amount of opposition he faced through his life, he'd have never got out of bed in the morning. I'm not going there, they don't like me. I'm not going there, they're going to stone me. I'm not going to Jerusalem, it's going to be bad. But the Lord led him. And so we must be careful not to be so externally led, But to allow the Spirit to sometimes use those circumstances to lead us. But really, we are His sheep who hear His voice and follow Him. May the Lord open our ears to give us the ear of someone who is willing to be taught, willing to listen, willing to say what Jesus is saying, despite what we see, and willing to trust that what He says and has promised, He will do. May we be delivered from the works of the flesh and enter into the peace and power of the Holy Spirit and be led by Him always. Guide us always, Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Bless you for enduring all of that with a bit of West Country. But I believe, as do you, I am sure, that it's time for us to be Spirit-led. In a new way, because we've never been this way before. If you think you've always been this way before, the way you pray, then you're not being led. You need to be willing to be going things, doing things that you've not done before. So, Lord, let's pray. Lord, it's amazing to have Your Spirit within us. It's amazing.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.